Last time we met, the sermon focused on your testimony. The evidence in your life, your language, your actions tells us who you trust, who you believe in. Is your faith in God? Who lives within you? And what evidence is there that tells us who you are, that you believe Jesus is the Son of God? The denomination or the affiliation, those who you surround yourself with, tell us how you believe, your form of baptism, communion, how often. Are they ordinances or sacraments? Is the common bond between you faith and love, this love for one another that must also be lived out? Others will then see the love of God through us as we labor together in the gospel. If not, if your life, your language, your actions don't show that, then as a church, we are forced to ask you the question, who are you following? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18 is our text for today. First Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, and still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, and no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Who are you following? It's the question that Paul presents almost immediately in his letter to the Corinthians. We should note that most of what we read in the letters to the Corinthians are answers to earlier letters or messages that were sent to him. It's a letter we don't have. What we read in 1st and 2nd Corinthians is the answers to questions we don't get to see. After the letter begins with greetings and thanksgivings that establish this church as being enriched in speech and knowledge, Paul remarks that the testimony, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is confirmed among them. And he addresses them as brothers, or in your NIV Bible, brothers and sisters, to demonstrate the relational bond between them, united under the name of Jesus Christ. But what Paul has to say about them isn't all good. Some of Chloe's people have mentioned to him there are divisions and quarrelings among them. We don't have any other information about Chloe and who her people were. Given that these people are not noted as family, the assumption is that Chloe, being connected with Corinth, has a sizable business in trade goods, and her people are quite possibly her agents or employees traveling throughout the region. They relay this sad news to Paul. Why and what are these divisions? Later in this same letter, Paul, still writing to the same group of people, will state that there must be factions or differences among you. A faction is defined as a small dissenting group within a larger one. Paul says there must be these differences so that the approved among you may be recognized. There is this understanding that there will be points where there is a process of comprehension and application. A process where those who have God's approval are recognized. But it also comes with a caution. Don't let it divide you. As we read into this, we're going to discover that no one side is stating the others aren't right. They aren't saying others have the wrong way. They are claiming they have the right way, and in doing so, they elevate their preferred leaders, which naturally degrades the others. We don't get to fully see what those divisions are, but Paul's response does give us some indication, and the divisions appear to be along the lines of how they believe, not if they believe. I follow Paul, I follow Cephas, I follow Apollos, I follow Christ. There's obviously some dissension, and Paul's challenge is that it doesn't have to be divisions. The answer to who you are following is going to be critical to your faith. No one else's faith will save you. Remember what Paul said, as he also wrote to the Philippians, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Discipleship is a movement, not a destination. It's a following. Take each step with caution to make sure who you are following. And at the beginning of chapter 11 in this letter, Paul will encourage them by saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in him and him alone. Now, there were those who claimed to follow Apollos, and Apollos was known as an effective preacher from Alexandria. In Acts chapter 18, he's described as a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures, instructed in the way of the Lord. He spoke with great fervor. Why wouldn't you follow him? He has knowledge. The same passage goes on to say that although he was instructed in the way of the Lord, he only knew of the baptism of John the Baptist. It was Priscilla and Aquila who invited him into their home, and Scripture says they explained to him the way of God more adequately. Only then did he go on to become a great help to many in the church, able more so than anyone else to refute his Jewish opponents in public. Bernard of Clairvaux, in his book on loving God, wrote, "There are those who seek knowledge for the sake of knowledge." That's curiosity. There are also those who seek knowledge to be known by others. That is vanity. And there are those who seek knowledge in order to serve. That is love. If we're following someone solely to satisfy our curiosity or to be known as someone with great knowledge, who then are you following? Are you following the form of Apollos? Are you seeking knowledge without application, without understanding? For all of his knowledge and learning, it became clear he needed to know more. He misunderstood something. As a powerful and effective preacher, he pointed to the way he was following, the way of the cross. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. And because of his knowledge, the church was not only edified, but defended against its opponents. In his public debate with the Jews, he showed them from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah. That's who he was following. Yet when asked at one point by Paul to return to Corinth to preach, he refused. He would not return to Corinth until the unity was restored. By this love, Apollo shows he is not the leader. He was following someone else. Peter as well had a powerful ministry among both the apostles and the Jews, and one of Jesus' closest disciples. Throughout Jesus' ministry, even in his shortcomings, Peter witnessed the transfiguration. He worked miracles. He heals a man paralyzed, even raises a young woman from the dead. We can see his faith lived out through the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we should follow him. His life of dreams, visions, and miracles excites us emotionally. We grasp onto the spirituality of that. There's that strong desire to be just like Peter. We could heal people, make the world a better place. God would speak to us directly through those visions. Who could ask for more than that? At one point in his ministry, Peter was opposed by Paul. Peter was content to eat and visit with the Gentiles until some Jewish believers sent by James showed up. Afraid he would be judged by them, he did what he felt would please the Jewish believers, and he withdrew from the Gentiles. In doing so, he led Barnabas astray. It would take a vision from God. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. And the vision had to be repeated 3 times before Peter could accept that he was commanded to go to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. All nations, Jesus had said. Go and make disciples of all nations. Are you following the form of Peter? The charismatic ministry of healing and visions and dreams, of blinding those around you by showing the power that lives within you, yet failing to do the simple things that demonstrate the love Jesus had, sitting down to something as simple as a shared meal, no matter who they are, but especially those who are different from you. Peter, like Apollos, was following someone greater than visions and healings. Peter would follow Jesus as Jesus said he would. Peter, who was crucified for his faith, crucified for who he was following. Can we follow Peter's example all the way to the cross? But it's Paul who's writing this bold letter to the Corinthians. And apparently there are some there who believe Paul had all the answers. He's chalked up more missionary miles than Jesus did, constantly in danger, ever preaching, the true heart of an evangelist, the master of apologetics and religion, one who sought and quite often uncovered opportunities to preach the gospel to both those who would accept it and to those who would threaten his life as they rejected it. Paul, who said he would gladly relinquish his own salvation if it meant the salvation of his nation, the Jews. Oh, to be like Paul, tenacity as a disciple, evangelical in purpose, seeking out every chance to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to encourage and enable others to do the same. If you claim to be an evangelist, here is our hallmark. Be like Paul. Paul continually preaching the gospel to anyone who will listen, praying daily for saved souls and refusing to allow anything to get in the way. The sacrificial ministry of Paul, is that who you are following? It's the same Paul who would reject a young missionary named John Mark, a young man who Paul accused of desertion in their first missionary journey. In the argument over it, there was a split between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas, whose nickname meant son of encouragement. Later in life, in a letter to Timothy, drafted from within the walls of his prison cell, Paul writes the words, "Get Mark and bring him with you. He's helpful to me in my ministry." The same Mark he had rejected earlier, on the shores of Antioch, the mission field spread out before them, Paul now shows us who he is following. All three labored under the same banner, the cross of Jesus Christ. They all sought the same path, the same way that ultimately leads to the cross. Paul says there are some who say, "I follow Christ," but what of them? In each one of these men, we see a faithful servant who proclaimed the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, and in each one we find a misstep, a problem, a moment where they needed to be turned back onto the path, not because of who they were, but because of who Jesus Christ is, and that is who they were following. Even in the Gospel of John, the disciples of John the Baptist come to him after an argument with someone the writer calls a certain Jew. And the concern centers around the fact that Jesus and his disciples are now baptizing, and everyone is going to them. John receives this news with joy and makes that proclamation. He must become greater. I must become less. There are currently many, and there were many, who follow the path of a speaker, a person, a teacher. David Koresh, Jim Jones, Joseph Smith, Harold Camping, Helen White. Look at the destination of those who followed them. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that looks right, but in the end it leads to death. That's why Paul would say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure who you're following. No, not just by knowledge, but by relationship. Know the one you are following. Show you are following, not by the miracles and the healings and the prayers you pray, but by allowing those around you to see the one who lives in you through the compassion and hope he offers to everyone, all nations. Let them not only see you are a believer, but what makes you a believer. And finally, let your testimony be in words to everyone who hears you, so they will know you follow the very word of God, and you cannot speak in any other way, always with edification, always with encouragement, and always in love. Those who come seeking knowledge, power, willing to go through self-immolation without a real purpose will show you who they are following when they reach a destination. At some point, they're going to arrive at something. More often than not, it's an open grave. If you're following Jesus Christ, there is no destination, for it goes on eternally. It's a movement, one of constant change, constant growth, one that leads to glorification. You will show who you are following as you are becoming more and more like him. Paul makes it clear to them, were you baptized in the name of Paul? Was Paul crucified for you? And I laugh that he's forgotten who all he's baptized, because that wasn't that important to the end. God's approval rests on some. Work out your salvation and your dissensions without division. It's not that we arrive at something, instead we wait for his arrival, and we ask the question, if we are becoming more and more like him, when he arrives, how can he help but not recognize himself? At our annual meeting this morning, I'm going to give you a charge to the congregation. If you're a visitor, please feel free to stay. I'm going to give a charge to the congregation, a call to discipleship, and I can promise you that it's going to be breathtaking. Almost sound like a politician when I said that, didn't it? It's going to be breathtaking, I promise you. It will be breathtaking. Because following him is like nothing else you will ever do. And that's your evidence. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand prepared and ready to be your church, your disciples, to preach your word in actions, in words, in everything we do and say. Lord, we ask a blessing on us as we approach this new year, this new season in the church, this new life in the church, that others may see the hope that we have in you, and your name above all will be glorified as they recognize who we are following. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.